You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 15 February. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, we're chatting with Petli Radenhuis. Top 40, it's a bull market. It's going up. And then Aspen. We've had a bit of a run since December. It seems to have maybe gone to sleep a bit. We'll get his view on that. Nolan Vapanot from Anchor as the Rand powers stronger. We had to record that interview late on Friday, and it's a couple of cents stronger since then. And then Chantal Robertson. She's from F&B. Loop structures and relaxed regulations. I'm interested in the what and the why around loop structures. Friday's poll, we said to you, does Tesla buying into Bitcoin change your view of the cryptocurrency? 23% of you said yes. That's a big number. 30% said nope, you already liked it. And I got to say, 47% of you said nope, you know what, Elon, appreciate your fun and games, but you're not convincing me. Conviction. I like conviction. MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, SARS puts through a sneaky change. This is when they owe you money and they pay interest. They've given themselves a 30-day window where they don't have to pay interest. Sneaky indeed. Business Day, why SA's PGM output's likely to bounce back sharply from decade lows. There's a bunch. I mean, obviously, pandemic disruptions. We also had the Anglo Platinum processing problems. They declared force majeure. Those are all coming together. So we certainly going to see PGM output. It's good for the mines. It's good for the country. We get nice foreign exchange and tax revenue. Morning market. US is closed today for President's Day. Hong Kong and China is closed today, tomorrow, and Wednesday for Chinese New Year. Friday saw US green, S&P and NASDAQ both up 0.5%. Asia green, Sydney up 0.9%, Tokyo 1.2%. Commodities green, gold up 1,825, and rand stronger, 1,451. Top 40, opening call, looking for an open about 0.9% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Petli Radenhuis. He is founder at Herenia Capital Advisors. Petli, you put out your weekend note every Sunday. And essentially, I mean, we're looking at our top 40 index, and your comment is quite simple. The trend is strong. And importantly, I mean, the trend is up and has been since, late October, early November. That trend is moving. It's gone to sleep the last few days. So maybe we're looking for a new entry point, but don't fight it. This is going higher.
Yeah, good morning. Well, exactly, right? We might not necessarily be at a point right now where we have a very high probability entry point into a new trade. In essence, the market sort of ran really hard and is at a high point, and mm-hmm. we can't really tell whether or not, from here, it's a very, very good idea to just go out and buy. Maybe we need the market to pull back a bit. Maybe we need to wait for a few days of consolidation to get confirmation that the market wants to take another step up as such. But in general, you know, the trend is up. And if that continues to be the case, then don't fight it. Try not to short it. Wait for an opportunity or a pullback in the market for you to go long. Is kind of the play, right? I mean, if you look at the way that the Asian markets are trading now as well, they're up strong. Okay, the US is going to be closed today, so we'll probably be relatively quiet. But CSI 300 index up over 2% this morning. Yeah, market's feeling pretty strong. Then it might not necessarily even make all that much sense at this stage, to be honest. But I mean, there's additional US monetary stimulus, there's European monetary stimulus.
Yeah.
As long as this machine keeps printing. A couple of weeks ago, I was feeling a little bearish and feeling that, you know, maybe the market's overcooked and it's very high risk and maybe we should be very careful. I don't think that view is too different. That, I think, is almost always the case in any case. But for now, the market is just, as long as it wants to go up, we can't fight it. Our job is to follow it.
Yeah, but don't – Be a simple trader. Find the direction, hop on the bus, and enjoy the ride. Aspen is one. Aspen, we were chatting before we came on here. I mean, Aspen seems to go to sleep at times for quite long periods of time, as it did sort of in December. And in fact, last time we chatted, we were looking for a short. It came back down, but now it's been sort of trending sideways, looking perhaps to break up. Friday was an interesting candle. This could be going 165, 170 bucks.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's ironic because we were speaking about it about like a long time ago, actually. Yeah. And it's still in that same channel. It's been around 3 years now that it's been trading in sort of a range or a upward slanting range, which is essentially a channel, right? And it's been sort of doing this move from around November from the bottom of the channel towards the top of the channel. That move is now around halfway. So we're trading at about 140. So the bottom end of that channel was at about 120-ish, 115. So we're now about halfway up in that move from the bottom end of the channel to the top end of the channel. In the process, obviously it makes different technical setups and it's formed a bull flag, which on Friday had broken and triggered sort of a new long trade to, you know, enter at around 145-ish with a target price of 160 to 170 in that region.
Yeah, and looking strong, and I take your point. I mean, it moves quite slowly, but yeah, you know, even with the Johnson & Johnson, it that didn't seem to, I suppose maybe it moved in advance of that, but it does kind of like go into a sideways and then moves again. Bethle Redenhuis, founder Herenia Capital, so appreciate your time this morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore. While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Nolan Vapanai, he's the co-chief investment officer at Anchor. Nolan, appreciate your time. I need to timestamp this. We're recording late Friday afternoon. You sent a note out earlier in the week around our currency, and there's so much to spook it. We've got COVID variants. We've had SONA, budget in 2 weeks. Yet the Rand started the week above 15, and as we sit here, 14.60. I mean, what's driving our currency, even with these fears out there?
Simon, good afternoon, and thank you very much for inviting me back on your show. As you know, as we said in our note, and as we'd suggested, the Rand is going through a volatile period. We have a lot of, you know, potential surprise events coming up. However, the broader environment continues to be Rand positive, or at least supportive of the Rand, and we've seen that play through the last week where we've seen strength notwithstanding SONA, and in fact strength through the SONA. If we then look on the domestic front, the domestic situation also is actually quite supportive, where the terms of trade continue to be in our favor. And what I really mean is South Africa's main import is oil, and oil price Brent is around $60 a barrel. It hasn't, it sort of went a lot lower, but where it was a year ago before the initial COVID strike. So I contrast that to our export commodities, which have been booming, and we're seeing significant trade surplus for the Rand as well. The combination of supportive domestic environment and a supportive global environment means that in the near term, the Rand continues to be well supported. It continues to track stronger, notwithstanding the significant risks that our country does face.
Yeah, and that is often the currency. We look out the window, we see load shedding, as you've mentioned, the SONA, etc. And we kind of, you know, when a finance minister gets fired, then there's a singular event, and it's a South African-driven event. But the Rand typically is moving on global issues as well as local, and those global might be sort of counter to what's happening internally, notwithstanding there is some you know, revenue pickup and the like within South Africa.
That is true. We often say that 70% of what drives the value of the Rand takes place outside of our borders, off our shores, and it's the global environment. That being said, that 30% has been quite positive as well of late. We've seen good tax collection numbers, which were published through to December, and that gave a significant impetus for our bond markets to actually rally quite strongly. And in that context, we've seen a lot of foreign buying of our bonds. So if you look at the microcosm of the last just 2 weeks, it's a very short period. But the Rand has actually strengthened relative to its peers as well. And there have actually been some significant idiosyncratic events that have actually been quite positive for us.
Some of those events, I mean, you mentioned the revenue collection, and as I understand the data, we're sort of 100 billion ahead of where we thought we would be, and that's a big number. I mean, it's still going to be a tough budget, but that remains a really, really big number and gives Minister Mboweni a lot of wiggle room come the budget on the 24th.
It does indeed. I think that number surprised us, but yes, our calculations are that Minister Mboweni has just under 100 billion rand more than he necessarily was expecting to have in the coffers. And that buys him flexibility. We know from the SONA yesterday that some of that 100 billion is going to be spent on extending grants, which is necessary. I think from a humanitarian side, we don't have a choice. It's the right thing to do. That being said, he's still got a significant amount of cash available. Some of that obviously needs to finance the vaccines. And with both of those sort of paid for, we still calculate that he's probably got 40-50 billion rand of change left, and that's a significant amount of money that he can use to manage his way through a tough period.
Your target is around the 14.50 to 15 rand sort of range, notwithstanding the speed that it's come in into that range. Are you expecting it to sort of stay around here? I mean, I appreciate the rand is volatile and it can shoot either way, but is this the sort of comfort zone for our currency in the next couple of weeks, maybe months ahead?
Very much. In any 12-month period, the rand typically trades with about a 2.50 range top to bottom. We're in a volatile period. It might be more. So the rand is going to shoot out of that range. It might shoot to the low side. It might shoot to the high side. But our comfort zone, our feeling of where should the rand be, absolutely it's 14.50 to 15 rand. And that means that we're saying to clients right now in our investment portfolios, we're probably neutral towards the rand. We're not rushing to buy dollars, but equally we're not bringing money onshore at this stage.
We'll leave it there. That's Nolan Rapanui, co-chief investment officer anchor. Nolan, really appreciate your time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Chantal Robertson. She's head cross-border advice at FNB Financial Advisory. Chantal, morning. Appreciate your time. Loop structures, exchange controls. You had an article out last week, which I'll be honest, the first time I read it hurt my head a bit. And I was a bit smarter the second time. Let's start fairly wide. Loop structures. I mean, what are these? Am I correct? This is essentially, I put an asset into an offshore business and then reinvest into it, essentially coming back into the country.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the call this morning. So let's just in terms of understanding the principles. I think the crux of it is that SA residents may not hold local assets, or previously weren't able to hold local assets through an offshore structure. So that's your classic loop. And I think that again, you know, what people didn't realize is that SA resident individuals have been able to hold funds abroad since 1997. So it's fair to say that people have been accumulating funds abroad, you know, for some time now. But the one key element was they were not allowed to reinvest those back into SA. And I'm talking now, obviously, individuals as well as companies. So that was your looping principle, essentially.
Okay. So that was, I mean, I'd have cash offshore, which was perfectly legit, nothing wrong with that. But the requirement was that I had to buy offshore assets with that cash.
Exactly.
Okay. And now what Treasury is saying is they've been relaxing sort of exchange controls slowly over the years. And what we've suddenly seen with the loop regulations is an acceleration of relaxations on that restriction. Am I now able to use my offshore money to invest into South Africa in ZAR?
Yes, absolutely. So again, whether you're an individual or a company, the issue of that circular in January now allows you to do that. So whether you are looking to invest money abroad using your million rand or your 10 million rand, mm-hmm. or whether you already have got some sort of offshore structure. So typically we would see individuals accumulating money abroad using some sort of offshore trust structure. And now this gives them the ability to actually choose whether a potential target in South Africa, whether they do it through local or whether they do it through the offshore structure. Obviously, it depends on the values because, again, it's normal inward investment principles are applicable. So, you know, fair value has to be introduced into the country like normal inward investment.
Yeah, fair point. And I mean, obviously, you know, as with any other asset investment, etc., there are applicable tax laws and there's still tax to potentially be paid in this environment. And, you know, as and when, whether it be a capital gain or perhaps a dividend tax.
Yes, and I think that's a point that we also, you know, wanted to get across in that article, is that there are accompanying tax measures with regards to the, you know, the relaxation on the exchange control side. So the point of it really is that it shouldn't be driven from a tax point of view. It's got to make more sense, you know, to you as a business person, to you as an individual. I mean, essentially, it's more a sovereign risk kind of play. You know, again, if you talk about individuals having the benefit, a large benefit of the relaxation over the years, one could say that they've been able to do a fair amount of globalization in terms of their personal balance sheets. Now this essentially gives them the ability to do the same for their business.
And this is, I mean, I'm imagining, you know, more predominantly for high net worth individuals, although, you know, truthfully, if I've got some dollars offshore, there are ways I could invest it back. But is this very much a function of estate planning rather than tax planning? There can be some tax efficiency here. You mentioned a sovereign risk play as well, and an estate planning process.
Yeah. So this is definitely more of a legacy kind of generational plan, in terms of, you know, really maximizing the offshore base. It creates a platform not just for local but for offshore. So it really does throw you into almost like a first world kind of scenario. I think the other important thing is that just from an exchange control perspective, you know, this is the start of what we're seeing coming up now on 1 March mm-hmm. with regards to the new capital flow management framework. So it really is a real positive move from a South African regulatory perspective overall.
Yeah, I mean, and that's my sense. And as I said earlier, I mean, the government has been relaxing exchange controls. It's been continuing under Minister Mboweni. And you know, it is a sense almost, I suppose, at some point to get to where there are no controls. That might be a way off. But my sense is that for most taxpayers out there, the exchange controls might be a lot of legalese and red tape and process to follow, but that we've got a fair bit of control over what and where and how we want to invest in a global perspective.
Yes, exactly. And one of the other benefits of the looping principle that we've picked up on is even in the here and now, where you are limited in terms of the allowances. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about from a longer term perspective, if I've got an existing structure abroad, and let's say, for example, you know, then I do acquire a target here in South Africa, the real benefit is over the longer term, as dividends are realized and as growth is realized, that is remittable to the non-resident investor, which is now outside of the million rand and the 10 million rand foreign investment allowances, you know, if we just do a comparison in the here and now. So it's really beneficial from the South African residents' perspective, just from a peace of mind perspective, I suppose.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. That's a great point. We'll leave that there. Chantal Robinson, Head Cross-Border Advice, F&B Financial Advisory. Appreciate your early morning. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 30. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider with license number 50483. Our poll for today, I want to ask you about the currency. We were chatting with Nolan Vapanar about it. Do you think the rand will continue stronger for the rest of 2021? You got three options. Yes, not a chance, and no way to call the rattlesnake. I got to say, calling the rand is risky, but I get a sense that we could see some strength through to the rest of this year. I mean, we'll see, but you'll find that poll are on our Twitter account at MoneyWeb. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app at 6:30 a.m. Podcast available from 7 a.m. wherever you get good podcasts. A huge thanks to my team, Eddie Cordora and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for the early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.